Welcome back to Midnight in the Mountains. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. What's up?
Not much. Aaron's not here, but you're here, so that's exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I am so excited, I can hardly contain myself.
Oh my God.
I'm kidding. I like to joke around, guys. If you don't know me, I am Jason. I'm from AFK Discussions. Check me out, AFK Discussions, on Instagram and wherever you do podcast stuff.
Yeah, AFK Discussions is back, which is super exciting, which I have to say, like, I really enjoy your podcast.
Thanks, actually, I appreciate it.
It's really good.
So I think I was afraid to do it at first by myself, but I think I've got a pretty good flow going now.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying just talking to people and, you know, hearing their stories. So.
Yeah, no, because I remember when I, you know, first started, and which, God forbid, please don't ever. I don't even know why I keep my old podcast episodes up, because they are absolutely freaking terrible. I think part of it was like, I was afraid that the numbering would get kind of messed up. But I think Apple took away the podcast numbers a while ago, so I don't think it really matters. To be fair, everybody says that about their own podcast, because I mean, really, they're not great. Like, you don't know what you're doing. I mean, I still don't know what I'm doing. I just know what I'm not doing, like, a little bit more now.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no clue what I'm doing. Like we were talking earlier, I am super busy all the time.
Yeah.
I have a 9-to-5 job. I have 3 podcasts. I don't know if you knew this or not.
We have 3. So What's the third one?
So I have Image of the Invisible. I have AFK Discussions. And then I have Nicest Nation, which is with my 9-to-5 job.
Okay.
Yeah. Pest control podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That podcast is crazy because I'm not used to having a lot of listeners. I mean, I have, you know, a few,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not used to, like, you know, thousands of people listening
to
me.
Wait, for real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. So that's you know, that's nerve wracking because I have about 5 listeners. No, I'm just kidding. I have a few more than that, but still, it's kind of what it feels like compared to other podcasts.
It's crazy because I'm new to the pest control industry. I'm a graphic designer, so I'm not really doing the pest control work, but I'm just talking to people in pest control, and I'm kind of, you know, just having conversations about, because I, like I said, I'm new to it, so I don't really know a lot. So I'm asking them questions. I'm getting, you know, info that I didn't know, and they're informing people listening. So, I mean, kind of works out. I was going to look it up real quick to see how many followers we have on YouTube. Just, I'm not trying to toot my own horn.
No, that's
but
fine.
Since we're talking about it.
That's honestly so interesting. That's not something I would think of that would have so many, like, I'm not dissing your, you know, your thing.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's interesting, but I, you know what I mean? I wouldn't think that there'd be so many that would be interested in that. I remember the one time that you accidentally went live on your YouTube channel with the pest control thing, and I stayed in and I listened to it, and I was like, wow, that's interesting. I sure don't ever want to eat in Hawaii ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, I thought there were more, but, you know, like, we have 2,000 subscribers, which the most I think I've ever had on AFK is like 500.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but our video, like, watching view-wise is the first podcast I did with them. It has like 10,000 views.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
So, which, you know.
So weird.
Yeah, it is definitely weird.
I have some episodes that are up in the hundreds for mm-hmm. listens, and I'm like, it just blows my mind. I'm like, who wants to listen to this?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you know, we both have friends like, you know, Tony, who has, you know, hundreds of thousands of views, you know.
Yeah, like one of the major podcasts for
sure. Yeah. Speaking of which, so I have 3 podcasts. I have a 9-to-5 job. I'm a dad of 3. I also produce a podcast for Merkle Media, produce Hammerlean Legends. Yeah, and I do freelance graphic design on the side for Fat Tech. I don't know how I have time to do anything.
I mean, that's my biggest thing is, like, I want to be more consistent with this, and I just don't know how people, unless it's their full-time job, I don't know how they get a podcast out once a week. It just baffles me because I don't know. And then when I do have time, I just am so exhausted from the day. I just sit and scroll my life away on my phone until it's time to go to sleep, and then I'm mad at myself, and I'm like, oh, I could have been using all that time to edit or research and, like, write things up to talk about.
Yeah. And also, there's, I mean, you have situations that you know, when you're recording or something, it just doesn't go right. You know, so I had someone cancel on me last week. And then I had a lady I interviewed and the podcast, it just didn't record for some reason.
Oh, no.
And it recorded my side, but her side, there was nothing, maybe 5 minutes. So I was like, what am I going to do? And so luckily, this lady from was actually a group. It's Date Night with the Ghost Gang from Australia. I had been talking to them and she was like, well, my husband can't come on, but if you want me, I'll still come on and do the interview. So I did that on Monday. And like I was telling you earlier, I was didn't have much time and I was being lazy. So I just clicked the AI edit and edited it all together real quick and put it up. So it came out today. But yeah, that was a quick turnaround, but I think it was worth it. I think that episode was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I saw you posted something having to do with Australia. I didn't listen to that one yet, though.
Yeah, it was really cool. She had some very creepy things that went on. I mean, so we were also talking about this beforehand about I have ADHD and my mind sometimes goes everywhere. I mean, it started off talking about ghost stuff and then we were talking about accents and how I'm from the South and I try not to sound too redneck when I'm speaking. And she said she didn't like the Australian accent, that it, you know, she doesn't watch Australian TV and stuff because she'd rather listen to an American accent.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, my wife and I, we used to watch this Australian TV show. It's talking about Australian TV and I don't know, it just kind of went everywhere.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, whatever. It's conversation.
Yeah. That's what I like to do. You know, that's the whole fun of it is, you know, the journey, the, you know, learning about people and just, you know, having a conversation. And it's just, to me, it's not about, I mean, I want everyone to be entertained, but like I make zero money off this podcast and I don't care about making money. I just like to talk to people and just, you know, have people out there listen and learn about the situations and like the ghosts and the, I just think all that stuff's interesting and it's good because I've listened to so many podcasts that when I talk to people that are new, it's like I'm the first person talking to them on here and everyone gets to hear it first through my show. And that just makes me feel good because I get to share that with the world, you know?
Oh, that's actually
like a first time
really cool
encounter. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think about that. Yeah. I like that. I mean, you know, we're not making money. We're actually losing money because it's
I'm definitely losing money.
Yeah, we both are for sure. And it's like, if I didn't have such a genuine love for the paranormal, you know, why would I just be blowing all this money every month, you know? Yeah,
definitely.
So, yeah. And I mean, I listen to so many podcasts too. And I think my favorite really are the ones where it's, you know, the experiencer telling about their experience, like what happened to them, their encounters, because to me that's just so it's really genuine. You can tell when somebody actually is telling the truth. So I think that's a lot of it for me. That's what I really like.
Yeah, and definitely like when you're talking to someone and you can hear that tremble in their voice when they're reliving their story. That just, I mean, it just, you know, it speaks volumes, I guess you would say, just to the authenticity of their story. You know, they're reliving it as they're telling it to you. And it's just, I mean, that's just, it's, can't put it into words. It just makes you feel like, it makes you relive it through their
right,
story. You
right,
know?
Yeah. Especially like a really good one for that is Sasquatch Chronicles. It's like, because he just kind of doesn't talk and just lets them go on and just tell their whole story. And some of them get really emotional and you can like picture everything that they're going through. It's really interesting.
Yeah. That's one thing I have a problem with is I like to interject and talk to people when
me too. So,
I just can't let them go. I'm like,
no.
You said something. I gotta get in there and
like,
talk
but
about
wait,
that.
But wait, but hold on. I need to know this first. Dude, it's so bad. Yeah. And I don't mean to be rude, but it's just like, I don't know. What is it? I think it's an ADHD thing. Cause I honestly think I've seen that. Cause I mean, I'm not diagnosed with it, but I'm pretty darn sure that I have it too. Definitely.
Yeah. So there is, for instance, I don't know the terminology, but if you have ADHD, you have this, I can't put it into words. You have this thing because I don't know what else to call it. So your mind processes stuff faster, right? Like someone's telling you a story.
Okay.
And you're listening to the story, but you've already figured out what happens
in
the story.
Yes.
So you're done with the story. You don't want to hear the rest of it. So you kind of cut them off.
That's what I was going to say to you while you were like, when you started explaining, I was like, okay, I know where he's going with this. Yeah. I know what he's going to say.
Yeah. You're like, two sentences ago, I know what you're saying. I'm done. You don't have to tell me anymore.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, that is exactly me. And then you like, you see other people around you and they still haven't figured it out yet. And I'm like, aren't you paying attention?
Yeah. I'm bad about, you know, someone is talking and, you know, I've moved on in my head to something else. And so I'll just start talking about something else. And they're like, I'm still talking. Oh, sorry. I thought you were done.
It makes me feel so good to like know that I'm not the only one that's like this.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. It's a thing. Legit.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, so should we get off our tangent and get into the reason why we're here?
I think we need to just turn this into an ADHD podcast.
We could do that. We could have a side podcast.
Okay. I'm done with that in my mind. Listen. Okay. No more ADHD. I'm done.
Yeah. For now.
On to the next.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. So we're going to get into this spooky stuff. I don't know why I'm like acting like I'm hosting now. So, Lara, you ready?
That's fine. You could, because I'm not a good interviewer, so you could interview me. That's fine.
No, it's fine. I was kidding.
Oh.
What?
I was going to say, I could tell you about my weekend. Yeah.
Let's talk about that, and then we will get into my stories.
So I spent the weekend in Gettysburg with my sister, and we met up with a bunch of our friends, and we went for the Battlefield Bash. They have it every year and it's full of people. And so my sister and I kind of did our own thing during the day and then met up with our friends, you know, for dinner. We had dinner with them every night and then we hung out and stuff. And I was going to go with a hotel because a hotel room was much cheaper than any of the options, and they were dog friendly. I had to bring my dog with me. So now my dog's not very, I guess the correct word would be reactive, because she's very friendly to myself and my sister and people that she knows. But if she gets scared, she gets extremely aggressive. I found her 2 years ago and I definitely think she was abused. So anyhow, so I had to bring her with me. And I called some hotels and they were all having events that weekend. And I was like, I can't bring her around all these people. It's just, it's too risky. So my sister and I are like scrambling around on Airbnb looking for places, and I couldn't find like hardly anything. And the stuff that I could find was so expensive. So I found this one place and it was a farmhouse from 1793. And then I kind of looked past it because I was like, oh, it's kind of too far away from Gettysburg. It's about a 25-minute drive. And then, you know, like a day or two later, my sister sends me the same Airbnb. And I was like, oh yeah, I saw that one. So we ended up deciding to book that for 3 nights, and it has, you know, its own yard. It's safe to bring the dog. So we go, okay, let's go with that. And then I'm reading about the Airbnb, like on the listing, and there's an actual graveyard on the property from the family that lived there. And it turns out that not the original owner, who was born in the 1700s, but his son was actually a colonel in the war, and he would go around and collect deserters of the war. And I was like, oh, wow, that's actually pretty interesting. And looking on the pictures of, you know, of the house, and it looks super nice and has really good reviews. So we get there. And the place is really nice. It's super clean. It felt okay when we walked in, but I don't know when we kind of started noticing that the vibes in the place were off. It wasn't scary. It didn't feel overly bad, but I started noticing, I think it was like that night we had got there, we unpacked, we got ready to go out and fed the dog, took the dog out, and then came back to the Airbnb. I don't remember what time. It was probably like 10, 11 o'clock at night when we got back, and got the dog on the leash, and I'm outside in the dark, and I'm just like, felt really uncomfortable, as almost if there would be like somebody standing behind one of the trees or the bushes. And it felt to me like I was in somebody else's house. And yes, of course I was in somebody else's house, but that's not the feeling. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But it just felt like I was in actively somebody else's house. So I'm like, okay, like this doesn't feel right here. So we go to bed, and I can't remember, because throughout all 3 days, like, I really did not sleep well. And I've slept in a few haunted houses, and I know what it feels like when I've slept in haunted houses where I feel very hungover and I feel drained and I don't feel right. I've recognized that feeling a few times now. When I woke up in the middle of the night, I'd fall asleep for like an hour, maybe hour or two, and I'd wake up. Like, I just woke up several times throughout the night. And in the middle of the night, I'm like, I feel like I'm hungover. And then I woke up in the morning and I still felt I was extremely tired. I was drained. And I don't know, we got ready, like went out for the day, whatever, came back, and it might have been the second night we're laying in bed. And so my sister and I slept together. There was like a big king size bed, and there was two bedrooms that we slept together because the AC unit was broken in the other bedroom. So there was only one AC unit upstairs and fans, and it was so hot this past weekend. It was in the 90s, and this is an old house, so this insulation wasn't good. So she had drifted off to sleep, and I didn't even realize, and my dog's curled up next to me, and me and the dog, we heard a loud bang, and then she starts barking, and I was like, did you hear that? And then I had woken my sister up, which I didn't realize. I would have just let her sleep. And she's like, no, what happened? And there was a loud bang out in the hallway. And then, like, not even that much longer, maybe 20 minutes later, my dog starts growling. And then I thought that I heard something else bang. And then she, like, went to, like, bark again, but it was a soft bark. And just the whole time we're in there, there's just these random noises coming from in the house. And I know what people are going to say. They're going to say, oh, it's an old house. The house was settling. It's pipes, whatever. No, it wasn't. It wasn't any kind of pipes. I know what that sounds like. We slept with the door shut so that the cold air wouldn't get out into the hallway. And I think it was the next morning that I had gotten up early. My dog needed to go out. So I took her outside. And we came back in the house, and I fed her breakfast, and she's standing there in the kitchen looking at me. And we hear what sounds like there's walking above us. And then my dog starts barking, and I'm like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's just Catherine, my sister. And I calmed her down, and then we went back upstairs. I opened the door, and there's my sister snuggled up in bed on her phone. And she's like, was Shelby barking? And I said, yeah. I said, you weren't up walking around? And she goes, no. It just was so weird. And just like the vibes were just not good in the house, because before we even went, my sister was like, old furniture, old antiques, like really freaked me out. And I said, why? I'm like, I love old stuff. And she's like, I don't know why. I said, is it the energy that's attached to them? And she's like, I don't know. She's like, I guess so, maybe. And I think it was either the first or second night. I said to her, I was like, yeah, I was like, you were right. I'm like, this place does not feel good. The vibes are just off in here, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I didn't feel angry, but it was almost like there was like an angry feeling in the house that it was, this is my house, why are you here type of deal. And I could totally be off on that, but that's just kind of this weird feeling I had kind of in the back of my head, but I couldn't place my finger on it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That was kind of my weekend. I'm still super just tired. And it's a couple days later since I've been home. So just like a few little things, nothing, you know, overly wild, but interesting nonetheless.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's, I don't even know. Because, you know, the spiritual energy, that's probably why you felt drained, is, you know, is feeding off your, I guess, energy. Is the only thing I can think of.
And I wonder too, because that place was all stone that we stayed in, and stone, could it have been anything residual? Which probably it was.
Yeah, that's so crazy. So, you know, the whole stone thing, you know, that stone tape theory.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the stone can actually record and play back images and sounds. That's, you know, another thing to think about with the banging. I don't know. I don't know a lot about stone tape theory. I just know it's a thing. That's about all I know.
Oh, which, speaking of, actually, I mean, I hope I can tell the story. I'm sure it's fine to repeat, my sister and I were hanging out with our friends, and then one of my friends brought some of their friends, and I met them for the first time. I really liked them. They were really nice. They were telling us a story about how they, when they had been to Gettysburg another time, that they were staying somewhere, and then they went outside to sit on the porch, and this was at nighttime, and they said this like mist, like a fog rolled in, and they could literally see, like, in the fog, soldiers riding on horses. And I said, were they see-through or was it solid? And they said, no, like, it was solid. Mm. And they watched it for a couple of minutes. They even went in to go get my other friend and say, hey, come out here. Come see this. So, to me, that could, and I mean, you know, that could be stone tape. For when they told me that story, I had chills. That gave me goosebumps. I was like, that is incredible.
Yeah, it is. And also, that makes me think of like time slips where you're seeing like the past. Because that's one thing, the one theory that I really like.
Me too.
Is the time slips where, you know, say time is not what we think it is. It's not linear.
Yeah.
Time's actually stacked on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you're actually seeing, they could be seeing you and you could be seeing them. In, right. You know, in their timeline, because there's a story, I think it was on Jim Harold's campfire, if I'm not mistaken. The guy called in and said that, you know, he was, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. He was in the fridge, like at late at night, making a sandwich or whatever. So he's making a sandwich and he hears a sound. He turns around, he sees this like teenager walk down his stairs and then look at him in the kitchen. Well, fast forward, he's a teenager, and he had kind of forgotten about all that. And he said he went downstairs in the middle of the night, and he looked and he sees his younger self in the fridge making a sandwich. And then he made the connection, oh, that I saw myself, you know, that's me and me looking at me. It's so wild, you know?
Yeah, I have goosebumps right now because that also reminded me of another story. I think it was on Monsters Among Us podcast, and that's a call-in show. And if you don't listen to that,
I love it.
I know, yeah, you listen, but listener, if you don't listen to that, I don't know what you're doing. Because that and Jim Harold's Campfire are some of the like the best podcasts, in my opinion, anyways.
Yeah.
But this woman, she called in and she had said something, and I can't remember the exact story, but there was something where there was a time slip like that happening, and she would see this old woman, and it scared her. And then I think once she got older in life, she saw something happen where she saw this person again, and then she realized it was her. And she was crying telling the story, because I think it really scared her so badly when it was happening. I don't know. It was really crazy.
I need to try to find that.
Yeah.
Because I listen to that show all the time. I definitely need to try to find which episode that is.
Man, they have some really good stories.
And Derek Hayes' voice is so, like, soothing.
Oh, I love it. So I was friends with somebody who I was like, you should really listen to this podcast. They're like, no, I can't do it. Like, his voice. He even explained it once that he said when he first started podcasting, he got so nervous and he wanted to sound good or whatever. And then this voice just came out and I guess it stuck. And I love it. I think it's super entertaining.
I wish I could make that voice.
So we could do voices and read the stories.
Welcome back to AFK Discussions. You're home for the paranormal.
Oh, God.
That could work. That could work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that show is great.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm going to piggyback off your story about the house you guys stayed in.
Okay.
So this is, I know we talked about, you know, me telling some stories that my grandmother had told me, because she had all these like really creepy stories that she told me when I was younger.
Hey, this is like a great segue that we didn't even plan. Look how it just flowed right into there.
Well, it's my ADHD brain. I had already planned it when you were telling your story.
Oh, that's right. Because you're like 10 minutes ahead.
That's right. No, but it's for real. So my grandmother had told me this story like at least 100 times. And throughout the times, no matter how many times she's told me, nothing changed. It was always the same, which kind of just led to the validity of the story itself. Because, you know, if you tell a story, it's going to change. If you're making up the story, rather, you know, the little details will change over time. So it goes like this. So this was back in the 40s, I think. It was during World War II. So I don't know if everyone knows the history. So when all the men were away, like my grandfather was fighting in the war, the women took up all the factory jobs. So my grandmother and her sister, so my great aunt, they lived together, you know, because, you know, pretty much all the men were gone at war. So, you know, they lived together to, you know, be safer, I guess. So they would go and work this job. I don't know how late they got off, but I know when they got home, it was nighttime. But anyways, they said when they moved into this house that there was a noose in the garage behind the house. And she didn't know why there was a noose there, but it was just weird that it was a noose hanging in the garage, right? And you can speculate because, you know, the Depression or, you know, maybe someone didn't want to go to war and decided to, you know, take his own life to not go to war. I don't know. I'm just thinking of reasons why this would be there. Anyways, there was a noose. Long story short, there was a noose. So, you know, they're at this house and they said, my grandmother said that, you know, they would go in and just, there would be some just real heaviness to the air in this building. And so this is another coincidence with your story. So her and her sisters, they started sleeping together in the same bed because it was just very, I guess, I don't want to say intense, very thick. The air was, you know, palpable, yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. So they said that they would, you know, go to bed at night and they would, you know, go in the room. They had lanterns because, you know, there was no electricity. So they had gas lanterns. They would walk to the room. They would, you know, put the lantern on the table next to the bed. And then something would blow the candle out, like blow out the lamp. And I don't know if you're familiar with these lamps. So I guess it's an oil lamp, not a gas lamp. So they have these tall glass.
Like a glass globe on it.
Glass globe above it. Yeah. So you can't really blow it out just like.
Yep.
Because that's what it's made for. So you can walk.
Exactly.
And it doesn't blow out. In order to blow it out, you either have to take it off or blow down inside. So the likelihood of wind blowing out the lamp is less likely. Something would actually have to purposely, you know, blow down inside the lamp to blow it out. They said that, you know, it would blow out, so they would relight it, and this would happen a few times. I can't remember if they left the room or not. I think they ended up going to sleep or something. I can't remember. Like I said, this was a long time ago when I've heard this story. Mm-hmm. My grandmother passed away when I was 16, I guess.
Aww.
So, yeah. So they end up going to sleep and they get up the next day, you know, go to work all over again. The next night when they come home, they said that the whole house was like freezing cold, and it was in the middle of the summer. So it really wasn't, you know, that cold, obviously. And, you know, we're in the South. So it, you know, typically, you know, 80s at nighttime and very, very humid. So definitely not cold.
No.
So, you know, it was bedtime. So they decided, you know, to go to bed. They went upstairs and the whole thing again, once, you know, the candle, you know, would blow out, and it blew out the first time. So they're like, just, you know, we're not going to relight it or whatever. And I want to say they opened the curtains so, you know, the moonlight would shine in so they wouldn't be as scared, right?
Yeah, like completely pitch black. Yeah.
So they're laying there in the bed and they go to sleep, and then they're woken abruptly by something falling down, like between them in the bed, like a figure just like boom between them in the bed. And it pushed them both off of the bed, and they got the heck out of Dodge. They like ran outside and.
Oh my God.
I think they got a neighbor or I can't remember. What happened after that? Because that's the part that, you know, always I was infatuated with is, you know, that who cares what happened? I mean, yeah, run away. That's all I need to know, you know, but that's pretty much the end of that story. It's just so weird. But I mean, there's so much that whole, like, you know, movie tropes and stuff of the unseen figures making indentions on beds and couches and stuff, which actually I've experienced. So I'll just keep going, and I'm going to try to link some of these stories together. My friend Brad, I don't think I've ever told you the story.
I need to go back for a hot second.
Okay, go back.
You said something just like threw itself in between the two of them.
I don't know if it threw or if it just fell like straight down.
That, and then for all those nights, the lantern just kept going out. Mm-hmm. To me, that really either A, that says like it wanted some kind of attention, but I feel like it could have done something for attention during the daytime. I feel like it was trying to actually scare them.
Oh, yeah.
Which is terrifying. And then it just reminded me that, so I have a Himalayan salt lamp and I leave it plugged in 24 hours a day and I turn it on extremely low. And I originally got it because I heard that it was supposed to help you sleep better, which I really do think that it does. But that's originally why I got it. And, you know, like I'm not scared of the dark. I don't need a nightlight. But, you know, I fall asleep with Sasquatch Chronicles on. I wake up in the middle of the night. I sure do need a nightlight.
Yeah.
So anyways, I've had this salt lamp and it's like it's dimmable. So you can adjust it, make it bright or make it super dim. And I always keep it very dim. And I've had this for years, maybe almost 10 years now. Probably not quite. But I had it when I lived in an apartment with my one best friend. And so the living room was whatever, decent size, I guess. And it was pitch black in there. And I'd get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And I'd always be kind of like creeped out by the living room because I'd have to walk past it to get to the bathroom. I would always feel like, oh, like what if something's in the living room, right? And I had this salt lamp with me in this apartment. And I would wake up in the middle of the night all the freaking time. And this salt lamp would be turned down to no light at all. You can click it off, but it wouldn't be like clicked off. The dimmer would be scrolled all the way down to just black. And this happened like almost every single night. And I'm like, what is wrong with this lamp? You know, I'm like, is this gravity that the thing is turning down, whatever? No. Ever since I moved out of that apartment, I have the salt lamp still. It's on all the time. It's literally never did that again, ever. So, and I don't know, we never really had anything happen in that apartment other than the one thing that I can remember that was super weird was my friend and I always liked to burn candles. And I remember having a Christmas candle out on the coffee table. And if I wouldn't be home, you know, it was my candle, I don't care, you know, if I wasn't home, she would maybe light it sometimes, whatever, and blow it out, whatever. And the one time I had pulled the top off and I went to light it and there was water inside literally water inside the candle. And I'm like, what? And I said to her, I'm like, did you light the candle and use water to put it out? And she's like, no, I didn't do that. And I'm like, it's okay. I don't care if you did. I just want to know how this happened. Like, how did this get here? And she like swore up and down she didn't do it. Damn. And I wouldn't do that. I don't know. It was very, very strange. But yeah, that's just so the lantern being blown out all the time totally just reminded me of my salt lamp. So I don't know.
That's crazy. So speaking of light, I don't know if I told you this or not. I can't remember who I told. I've told a couple of people, but this just happened recently.
Did I tell you? Yes. Okay. Yes.
So after the interview with Tommy
that
I had, which was, I guess, 3 weeks ago now, maybe.
Probably.
So that episode had a lot of glitches. I don't know if it was just technical or if something was going on, but, you know, it was very weird. It was weird to the point that the recording got messed up, like out of sync. It was really strange. Like, I know, I think you told me my outro music started playing.
Yeah.
Before it was done. And then Tommy was talking.
Yeah.
But it was like the conversation was done, but he was still saying stuff that didn't make sense or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I don't know. That's really weird. I left it. I was going to go back and re-edit it. But I was like, no, I'm just going to leave it like this because Brooks, you've talked to Brooks, I think some.
Yeah.
So Brooks said, dude, this makes it way more interesting than just having it as a normal podcast. This is way better, all this stuff. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to leave it like it is. So anyways, after that recording, the battery on my remote for my fan is dead. So it doesn't turn my fan on and off and the light on and off in my ceiling fan in my bedroom. So you have to actually pull the chain to turn the light off. So my wife's in bed. So I get done with the podcast, go upstairs, get in bed. And then like 2 o'clock in the morning, we wake up to the room being super bright. And my wife's like, what the hell? And I was like, what's going on? And the light's on. And I'm like, what is going on? And I mean, I didn't feel like any bad vibes or anything. You know, I get up and I just pull the string and turn the fan off and go back to bed. But that's weird, right?
It is weird. But so did you guys wake up at the same time?
No, I woke up to what the hell.
Right.
I see the lights on.
But what woke her up?
The light. She's very sensitive to the light.
Okay.
She usually sleeps with like an eye mask on.
Oh gosh. Okay. Yeah.
So the next day I try to debunk it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, sometimes those pull chains, if you pull them just right, it doesn't click, you know, and then it'll like, if the fan's on, if it vibrates or something, maybe the light will come on. I tried that. It definitely was not that.
Yeah, that's
so
weird.
I don't know why that happened, but it happened. Very strange. Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird.
Haunted ceiling fans. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Anyhow, though, let's go back to, you were talking about your friend Brad and kind of like the indent.
Yeah.
In the bed.
So this is okay. So this, I think I'm going to take this somewhere else because I already talked about the headless ghost sinking down in the train tracks. So guys, if you want to hear that, go back to the episode I was on previously, which was like 2 years ago, a year ago.
Oh,
year ago.
God, no. It was probably last year, but it was probably like 3 episodes ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because that's right. You don't put them out regularly.
No.
Okay. So if you want to hear that, listen, you know, 4 episodes ago or something.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take you down a winding road of craziness.
That's what this podcast episode is when we talk.
I know. So I have a friend, Brad. His name's Brad Hodson, Brad C. Hodson. You guys should look him up. He's a very talented author. He is part of the Bram Stoker Horror Association in LA. He's a writer. He has written a couple of books. He wrote a book called Darling that is awesome. Fangoria magazine said it's equal to Stephen King's novels. So I highly recommend you check it out. And he's just an awesome writer. So I will start off. This is Brad's story, right? This does not involve me for the first part. So Brad lived with his grandparents, who they adopted him. So they were his parents. And his uncle used to live in the house with them. And his uncle was into the occult. And he apparently conjured something in that house. I'm not sure what. I'm just going off the story that Brad's grandmother told me. So apparently, his uncle could make a paper airplane. Did I tell you about this part? Okay.
I think you did. And did you tell this on Tony's show before?
I have told this on Tony's show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's still good, though. It's still a good story.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah. No, keep going.
So he could make this paper airplane, and he would throw it, and he could say left, and it would turn left. He could say right, and it would turn right. Land, it would land on the bed and take off, and it would come back up in the air. So one night, he left the room, or maybe he was going to the room. I can't remember if he left or was going. But he saw this demonic creature, like, sitting in the hallway. Anyways, after that, he became a Christian and left the house, because that's how bad it impacted him, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, I think that whatever he did, this entity is now in this house, right? So whatever he conjured is now in this house, I'm pretty sure. So all that took place when Brad was younger. So fast forward to the 90s. I was a teenager and hanging out at Brad's house, and it was late at night. He actually had kind of like a pseudo apartment downstairs. He had like a bedroom, like a little living room, a little kitchen and bathroom downstairs for him. So, you know, a lot of people would go and just, you know, hang out over there. But late at night, whenever everyone's asleep, you can hear people walking around upstairs. And it's very, very weird. You got a smirk on your face.
No, I'm just like cringing at the walking upstairs.
So you haven't heard this part?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool. Anyways, so there's walking upstairs, and I would always ask him, like, what is that? And he's like, oh, you know, don't worry about it.
Just the demon upstairs. Yeah, don't worry about it. Just
got used to it.
My God. And
it was an older house. So, I mean, it was, you know, creaky floorboards and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would periodically go on. And it was very, the house didn't really feel creepy, though, to me. Because
mm-hmm.
I would spend the night over there, like, all the time, right? So I'm not, like, creeped out to go there. Because if I was creeped out, I would not go back.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward a little bit more. We're going to skip forward a few years. His grandparents end up buying the house next door. And say that they move out, they move in next door, and they give this house to Brad. And this is probably, it was college, right after high school, I guess, when this happened. It's pretty funny, because Brad, he also was a comedian. He was a stand-up comedian, and he did a bunch of stuff. Like, he had a radio show in Alabama. And so, anyways, we dubbed the House of Ill Repute. I mean, it's just a bunch of guys living there. It's not like an actual house of ill repute, which you know what it is, right?
No.
It's like a prostitute hangout.
Oh, okay.
A house of ill repute. Yeah. So anyways, all the guys would come over and hang out, and, you know, we were all pretty straight-laced. You know, we didn't really get into trouble. We, played video games and Dungeons and Dragons and, you know, all the cool stuff that, you know, makes you, you know, not nerdy at all. Yeah. Anyways, we'd go there and hang out all the time. And one day, well, my cousin, Mike, he moved in there because there was a few people moved in there after his grandparents moved out. And I mean, why not? I mean, your buddy's got a house, you know, move in there, you know.
Oh, definitely.
So my cousin Mike moved in there, and he only lived there like a week. He never said what he saw, but he saw something. I don't think he may have spent the night over there a couple of times, but I mean, he definitely did not want to live there.
I really want to know what he saw or felt.
Yeah, he never told me. Now, whenever this was, my friend Keith moved in, and I was going over there. Just Keith and I were the only ones there. We came home and no one else was in the house. And we saw Brad's car. We thought Brad was there. So we were walking around looking for him. We went downstairs and all of a sudden we hear the kitchen cabinet doors slam, like a, you know, like opening and shutting. We're like, oh, Brad's here. We go upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody in the kitchen. All the doors are open on the cabinets. And that's one of those. You think, oh, that just, you know, it's a horror movie trope, you know, but no, it legit happened. And that was very creepy. And then Keith's like, oh, we'll just get out of here. You know, I'm going to go grab some stuff. And then we'll, you know, go back to your house. I was still living with my parents at the time. So I'm sitting on the couch and the cushion next to me indents, like someone sat right next to me on the couch.
Oh my gosh.
And that is that very creepy. I did not feel like anything hostile or anything towards me, but it was very creepy nonetheless. And I was like, you know, let's get the heck out of here. But still, you know, we'd go over there and hang out all the time. Yeah. I mean, it was like no thing. It was like known that his house was creepy and haunted. You know, but there's just so much stuff that went on there. So another thing about Brad, like I said, he's a very talented author. And guys, I'm not just doing this because he's my friend. Check out the book, Darling. It is really, really good. And it's written, it's based on the town that we grew up in. And I'm actually a character in the book.
No way.
A bunch of our friends are. Like,
that's so cool
in this book. So yeah, it's pretty cool. So yeah, but yeah, that's the creepy stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also, his grandmother also experienced that.
Really?
Sitting next to her on the couch.
Oh, wow. Yeah. The uncle became a Christian, or you were talking about Brad?
No, his uncle. Yeah.
Okay.
Became a Christian after all that.
Yeah. But he just kind of like made a mess and like left it there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Oof. I don't think it was overnight transformation, but you know.
No.
Now, I'm trying to remember all the stuff we talked about before. Did I talk about the voodoo whistle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course we talked about that. Yeah. And Aaron's going to Africa, I think in October. And that was the joke when I was like, don't bring home a whistle.
Yeah. Or maybe he needs to bring home a whistle.
Yeah. Yeah.
make his life interesting.
Yeah, we could document it, investigate.
I mean, I can go dig it up and send it to you if you want.
Oh my God, no.
Speaking of which, I have something I'm going to give to you.
Oh no. Do I want it?
Yeah, you probably want it. I mean, I'm not going to use it anymore after the experience I went through. So I have a spirit box that I haven't touched it. I'm just going to give it to you if you want it.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh shoot.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because my friends gave me a spirit box that somebody gave to them, and it's like, I don't think it's a very good one, and I tried to do the Estes method on the bridge in Gettysburg this past weekend. I hooked my headphones up and everything, and like, I don't know if it's a spirit box, and like, it was just going so fast, I couldn't really get much out of it, whatever. So it was like, is it me or is it the spirit box? And I'm kind of like, oh, I want to try a new one. So the fact that you said that, that's really cool. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. So this one's really good. The S box.
Yeah. That's actually the one that I want.
Yeah. So it's it records, it you can slow it down so it goes through the channel slower.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. And it's rechargeable. Yeah. It's,
oh, cool. So there's not actually like batteries.
I mean, you can put batteries in it, but it's rechargeable also.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Jeez. Well, it's got like a lithium ion battery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Is that because of the whole, well, yeah. I mean, I could edit this out, but.
No, it's fine. It's because all the stuff that happened at Elkmont. Yeah.
Oh,
I just
really?
I don't want to like touch the darkness with this. The
darkness, but you're willing to go back there?
Yeah, I'm going to go back. I may not go inside the cabins,
oh, man.
But I will be there. So there's something about it's because I thought about it more and more, and this is like essentially a Ouija board.
I know. I had a friend that I would talk to about that because he would like use Ouija boards, and I'm like, no. And then he would say, well, it's basically the same thing as a spirit box. What's the difference? And then I thought about it and I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. But I still feel like there's something about a Ouija board that just kind of is, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what, but there just seems like it's like, oh no, definitely don't use one of those. But the bad thing is all of this is like such a slippery slope, because lately I've been finding myself like, okay, maybe I would use a Ouija board, because the more and more you get into this stuff, it's like a drug. It's like you want those experiences, you want to find things out, you want answers, and you'll try all these different things and then keep trying things to get answers and have these experiences. So it's like you really need to watch yourself. So you don't go further than you should, because the stuff, it's not a joke. It's real.
I know.
So.
And that's one of the mistakes that, you know, we made is we went to Elkmont and we had activity to the point of, you know, Jimmy, tell this story. I don't think I've told you.
There was stuff that you were talking about. I think it said like, that's the devil or something.
No, okay.
Or the spirit box or evil.
So that's part one.
No,
I haven't talked to you since part two.
Wait, did you recently go back with Brooks?
Not recently, no.
Oh, okay. Because I was talking to him the other day and he was telling me that he was like begging you.
He was. And I was like, I can't. So, well, we went and that was the last time I talked to you on the podcast. That was the first time we went. Well, Phil came back into town to be on Tony's show, and we decided to go back to Elkmont. And this is when everything went kind of sideways.
So you had gone to Elkmont, and then Phil came into town, and that was Phil's first time going to Elkmont?
No.
Oh.
Phil and I went. It was me, my...
This really is part two.
Yeah. So it was myself and Ty, my old co-host, and Phil and his fiance at the time. They're married now.
Yeah.
So we went and recorded a video there. Then a year later, Phil is on Tony's show and comes back, and we go back a second time and then a third time. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is what caused a lot of problems.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So this is why Phil no longer has Exploring with Phil and deleted all of his content.
There was also the whole, and I mean, I'm not like, he was very outspoken about this. So like, I'm not, you know, telling any of his secrets, but it had to do with the Hockomock Swamp too, right?
Yeah. Well, something from Elkmont like followed him back. He like had a hitchhiker.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
It all started in Elkmont.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So we go the first night. We go to the cabin that we had that's devil worship come mm-hmm. through the spirit box. We go in there. Had little activity, nothing much. There's a cabin directly in front of it. So we go in there, and when we walk in that cabin, it's like you go into a soundproof room. Everything is completely silent.
Yeah.
And this cabin it's not like it's soundproof. It's an old cabin in the woods.
No, I know just what you're saying.
Yeah. But I mean, you could hear your heart beating. It was so quiet. And so Phil and I were in there like, gosh, it's so quiet in here. And, you know, it was on video. I think I still have the video, maybe on YouTube. I'm pretty sure it's there.
I got to find that. I want to see that.
I'll send you a link. So we everything's like deathly quiet, and we stay in there a few minutes. Nothing really happens except the quietness. So we leave and we go out, and we go to cabin 13, which is the one that Brooks told us was like super active. So we're walking towards the cabin, and I feel this heaviness on my chest, like almost like a weight, and it's hard to breathe. And I'm like, I can't breathe. I can't catch my breath. It felt like I just like ran a mile or something. That's the way it felt. And we kept going. I went inside the cabin. I was like, I can't breathe, Phil. I don't know. And then we started getting like goosebumps. I call them goosebumps.
Goosebumps is a good explanation for sure.
Yeah. And then both of us started feeling like sick to our stomach, almost like a weird sensation. So
yeah, no, I've gotten that, and I've kind of connected that with like when things are evil, mm-hmm. I get nauseous.
Yeah.
But I know. Yeah. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
So we stay in there not long at all. And we end up, we leave the building, and then it's like a weight's lifted off. And we're like, okay. So we feel better. We decide to go back into the cabin where everything was super quiet. So we go in there, and we're in there, and it's not quiet anymore. It's normal. So Phil's like, okay, let's, you know, get the spirit box out. Let's, you know, we set up some lights, and we're, you know, in there talking, and, you know, as we're setting it up, we heard footsteps on the cabin that, that's devil worship cabin mm-hmm. on the spirit box, that cabin, we heard footsteps coming from there. And you can see in the video, both us were like pointing footsteps, like listen, footsteps. Yeah. And then we heard a bang. Like on a wall, and something that we didn't hear until after the fact, which was on Phil's video, which no longer exists because he deleted everything. But there was a like a howl or a scream, which was really crazy.
Was it like person, or what did it sound like? An animal?
It sounded almost like a Sasquatch almost, but you couldn't hear it when we were there. We could only hear it in the replay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyways, we end up leaving. We get back to Sevierville, and I call Brooks. I think I text him. I didn't call him. It's like, hey, man, all this stuff went down. And we were like, do you want to come back tomorrow night with us? And Brooks like, yeah, we're down. We'll be there. So we go back the next night with Brooks, Matt. I'm always bad about his name. I can never remember his name. Matt's husband, whatever his name is. We all go back. We go into the first cabin, the devil worship cabin. We set up a bunch of stuff. We set up the REM pod. We set up a music box. We set up motion sensor lights. So the REM pod goes off. We had the motion lights in the other room. There's like a little back room area. And those motion lights start going off. And no one was in the room with them. And mm-hmm. we're like, okay, that's kind of weird. But Brooks is like, this is nothing, dude. Cabin 13 is where it's all at. And I was like, I don't know if I want to go back in there. And he's like, yeah, come on, let's go. So we go in there, and I was like, we didn't make it past this first part. And Brooks is like, well, all the activities in the back here. So we go towards the back. It's like a living area when you walk in the door, and then there's a hallway, and then there's a room to your left, and then to the right, I think there's a bathroom. Then there's a bedroom, and then there's like, I guess it would be a dining room area. That's where we all kind of set up, like the where we all stood at in this dining room area. And then there's a kitchen in the very back of the cabin. So the bedroom is where all the activity happens, he said. So we put the REM pod in there, the music box, the motion sensors, and I can't remember what else was in there. We put a bunch of stuff in there. Now, if one thing goes off, you can call it a fluke, right?
Yeah.
The temperature changed. Okay, the REM pod's going off because the temperature fluctuated. Okay, you know, maybe the house is settling and it disturbed the music box, so then, you know, it would go off a little bit. But whenever REM pod, then music box starts playing. I don't know what to do. I don't know. It's playing La Cucaracha for some reason.
Oh my God.
Then the motion lights, boom, off, boom, go off, boom, go off, boom, go off. Like something's walking around, like pacing in the room. REM pod, music box, lights. REM pod, music box, lights. And I'm getting goosebumps talking about it right now. It was very weird. I've never experienced something that's beyond deniable, you know, because you can always like, oh, yeah, it's just the weather. It's just, you know, temperature change. But
yeah,
that you cannot deny when everything happened at once or in succession, you know, that one right after the other. So we're all standing there and I remember saying, I cannot believe this happened. This is so crazy. And then Brooks goes into the kitchen and Matt goes in there and I'm like, I could tell something's going on. I'm like, what happened? And Brooks has got this huge scratch down his arm.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, something like scratched his arm, which, I mean, that's the running joke. Something always happens to Brooks. It seems like if you watch the videos. But yeah, so he got scratched. And we did the Estes method after that. I can't really remember what happened on the Estes method, but because I was just still in awe of everything else that happened.
Yeah.
And Brooke said that they've had some sort of entity run across the top of the roof and jump off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you heard the episode I had with Brooks, he said, you know, no longer 13 is no longer the most active cabin, if you can imagine that.
Wow, really?
Yeah, there are other cabins that are more active now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but it was intense. And so call it a fluke, call it what you will, but after we left, just everything started going to crap. Like Phil had stuff go wrong with him.
Not feeling good.
Not feeling good, having issues. I don't want to go into his story. I mean, I don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
He was doing a month. It was in October. He was doing a month of Huckamuck Swamp.
Right.
He did not make it through the month.
Yeah, I would grab my phone and see the alert and just kind of turn it on and just like kind of like put it in my pocket and like listen to him talk, you know, just for like entertainment to listen.
Yeah, but that's when, I mean, everything came to a head.
When were you guys in Elkmont, like the month before?
It was September. Yeah, I guess it would have to be September. Okay. Yeah, it definitely was September because all this happened. So he was doing the month of Huckamuck and then I got laid off of a job that had worked out for 25 years.
Yeah, that friggin' sucks. That's right about the time I started listening. Like, I don't even remember how I stumbled across you guys. I think I saw Phil on Tony's.
I thought it was before this that we talked. Before, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was the first time of Elkmont. It was after the first, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe. I don't remember. I don't know. Maybe.
Because you don't know it. You didn't know anything about this.
I remember, and I don't know if this was the first time or not that this happened to you, but I remember you saying how all of the devices were going off like crazy. And then I remember like Aaron was really kind of like blown away by that because he's not familiar with any kind of ghost hunting stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, wow, that's really interesting or whatever. So I remember that, but I don't remember you saying that Brooks went into the kitchen and got scratched and stuff, and then that this is possibly what followed Phil or anything like that. So
I mean, followed Phil, followed me. Like,
it's really scary, man.
Like I said, you know, I got laid off. Then my wife's bank she worked for got bought out, and and then they closed her department, so she got laid off.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just, everything that could go wrong was going wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just bad all the way around. So, yeah. And then that's why we stopped doing AFK discussions.
Right. Yeah. Oh man. I don't know. This stuff's, I don't know. There was something I was going to add to that and I don't remember what it was. Oh, I do know that there was one night, like, I don't really watch TV. I just throw on YouTube and I had sent you the video also, but I was watching this YouTuber and I actually really liked him because he's just so even keel, just kind of, you know, going about his business investigating. And then when something would happen, if it wasn't actually paranormal and he could debunk it, he would say like, oh, I thought this was actually like, I thought this was paranormal. I thought it was this, but it turns out it was actually just this, and like would replay the footage and then explain it how it wasn't actually paranormal. So I was like, wow, this is, you know, because like so many people could just leave that in there and be like, oh, wow, that actually really was scary, you know, and he called it out. And this guy did Elkmont. And he went into the one building and he was saying how he heard there was scraping on the walls. And I was like, holy crap. And I messaged Brooks and I was like, this guy's experiencing the same thing you did. And I was like, this is crazy. And I mean, I don't remember what cabin he was in, but it wouldn't surprise me any if it was the same one.
Yeah.
So that being said, what do you think is there at Elkmont? Obviously, there's something that's not good. Why do you think it's there? How do you think it got there?
I really don't know. I mean, I can speculate that maybe because it was at one time it was a like almost like a lumberjack camp. It was called Daisy Town.
Yep. Yeah.
Then I think it became like a hunting lodge almost because it seems like some of the there's some newer cabins, newer as in probably the 20s.
Okay.
Is they seem like more modern style buildings, maybe the early 1900s. And there's also a hotel that was built over there that has been demolished.
Oh, wow.
But so my thoughts are that, you know, with the, you know, Native Americans in the area, maybe there was something to go, you know, something about that, maybe some like cursed land, possibly. I don't really know because it's very secluded back there. And it's kind of a weird place for it to be. You'll see when you come out here. There's a campground right next to it. You can camp right there.
Yes, I did hear about that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I would totally do that.
Yeah. And there's a cemetery up there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely want to go to that.
Yeah. But it's just, I really don't know what happened. I mean, you know, like I said, all of the Smoky Mountains are very weird, mysterious. I don't know. I don't know if it, you know, maybe because of the whole Trail of Tears, you know, there's so much pain where the, you know, the Native Americans got moved to Oklahoma and then some of them got land in the Smoky Mountains and they came back and there was a lot of tragedy. I don't know if you know much about the Trail of Tears, but like the U.S. Army gave them blankets that were from smallpox patients. And so a lot of them died because of these small, they call them smallpox blankets.
Right. And it's funny you say that because just recently there's a YouTube channel I watch and he was saying how that's actually not true. And that was a myth that we didn't really do that. And it was just like one person that did that to the Native Americans. But I mean, I remember learning and I was like, wait, is that really actually true? Because I mean, I remember learning that in school, just what you're saying. And I mean, but also, it is definitely, I mean, it is totally true. Like, they did not teach you the full history when you went to school. I was just talking about that with somebody else the other day. I mean, there's stuff, you know, they did not tell us how shitty things actually really were and how bad we treated people and stuff like that. But yeah, that's actually something that I've meant to actually look into because I was like, wait, was that actually really not true? But yeah.
I think it's true.
I mean, I thought it was true also. Yeah. He's the only person that I've ever heard say that. And I was like, wait, I should fact check this. And then I got sidetracked and forgot. Yeah. But that's terrible. I mean, also, I mean, I think you think the same as I do as far as places that become, what's the word? And not abandoned, but like places that they be kind of just become, I mean, they're abandoned, but
like, what am I? Dilapidated? I don't know.
No, it's like when there's like a void for a place is abandoned and there's nothing there, it leaves room for other things to move in, such as negative entities or whatever, to fill that space. And also, here's the other thing too. If you said there used to be, they would cut trees down. I mean, you've heard a lot of the stuff where there's with the old logging roads, there's a lot of Bigfoot stuff. I mean, kind of makes me wonder if Bigfoot or whatever, or even, oh gosh, what's that called? Like earth spirits. What am I thinking of?
I don't know. Elementals?
yes, elementals or something like negative that would come in because they'd be mad that we did that to the land or whatever. I mean, I don't know. There's just so many things that you could speculate on.
Yeah, definitely. Or the fae folk, the fae, yeah. Are, you know, whenever someone come in and disturb the land.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's a weird magical place.
I cannot
and
wait.
And I don't want to poke the bear. So yeah.
But I'm actually surprised you're willing to go back.
I will go back. I just don't know if I will go in a building. Although there's weird stuff that happens outside the buildings too. But yeah. I know someone that will go and go in the buildings and knows much more about it than I do. So
yeah. For sure.
I'm talking about Brooks.
You didn't know. Oh no, I know. Yeah. You don't have to ask him twice.
I know. He's all about it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. He had said that sometimes that he goes and it's like it's really quiet and other times it's just insane. And I'm better knock on wood right now because I might be eating my words, but I really do hope that it's not quiet because I want to experience something. Aaron's never experienced anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want him to have some kind of experience for him to be like, oh my gosh. So
yeah, well, I hopefully it won't disappoint because
I hope not.
It's a crazy place.
Yeah. And then we also have Brushy too. So oh, that's yeah.
Yeah. And it's so like I said, such a weird place, Tennessee. And you'll get to experience it soon.
Yeah. Pennsylvania too.
Yeah.
Like you definitely gotta come up
definitely
sometime for sure. All right. Yeah. So all right. Well, let's just wrap this up. Let's tell everybody where they can find you.
All right. I'm Jason. You can find me on Instagram. That's at AFK Discussions. You can find me wherever you listen to podcasts, AFK Discussions. And also, if you have a story, if you want to be on the show, if you want to talk to me about stuff, I would love to have you on. That's AFKDiscussions@gmail.com. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. If it's not AFK Discussions, it's AFK Discussions Podcast. I think it's just AFK Discussions. But anyways, hopefully I didn't confuse you too much, but I'm Jason. You can find me wherever.
I'll try to figure that out and put links in the show notes.
Links
and all
down
that
below.
Good stuff.
Like, 5-star review, all that. Yeah. Ring the little bell icon.
Alrighty. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I really appreciate it. I always love getting on here and talking to you. We always have such fun.
Oh, yeah.
Just chatting. So much fun.
Alrighty, guys. We'll see you next time.
Peace.